The Catechism on the Word of God. My children, the Word of God is of no little importance. These were our Lord's first words to his apostles, "Go and teach," to show us that instruction is before everything. My children, what has taught us our religion? The instructions we've heard. What gives us a horror of sin? What makes us alive to the beauty of virtue? Inspires us with the desire of heaven? Instructions. What teaches fathers and mothers the duties they have to fulfill towards their children, and children the duties they have to fulfill toward their parents? Instructions. My children, why are people so blind and so ignorant? Because they make so little account of the Word of God. There are some who do not even say a Pater Noster, an Ave, to beg of the good God the grace to listen to it attentively and to profit well by it. I believe, my children, that a person who does not hear the Word of God as he ought will not be saved. He will not know what to do to be saved. But with a well-instructed person, there is always some resource. He may wander in all sorts of evil ways. There is still hope that he will return sooner or later to the good God, even if it were only at the hour of death. Instead of which, a person who has never been instructed is like a sick person, one in his agony who is no longer conscious. He knows neither the greatness of sin nor the value of virtue. He drags himself from sin to sin like a rag that is dragged in the mud. See, my children, the esteem in which our Lord holds the Word of God. To the woman who cries, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck," he answers, "Yea, rather blessed are they who hear the Word of God and keep it." Our Lord, who is in truth itself, puts no less value on his word than on his body. I do not know whether it is worse to have distractions during Mass than during the instructions. I see no difference. During Mass, we lose the merits of the death and passion of our Lord, and during the instructions we lose his word, which is himself. Saint Augustine says that it is as bad as to take the chalice after the consecration and to trample it underfoot. My children, you make a scruple of missing Holy Mass because you commit a great sin in missing it by your own fault. But you have no scruple in missing an instruction. You never consider that in this way you may greatly offend God. At the day of judgment, when you will all be there around me, and the good God will say to you, "Give me an account of the instructions and the catechisms which you've heard, and which you might have heard," you will think very differently. My children, you go out during the instructions, you amuse yourselves with laughing, you do not listen, you think yourselves too clever to come to the catechism. Do you think, my children, that things will be allowed to go on so? Oh, no, certainly not. God will arrange matters very differently. How sad it is. We see fathers and mothers stay outside during the instructions, yet they're under obligation to instruct their children. But how can they teach them? They are not instructed themselves. All this leads straight to hell. It is a pity. My children, I've remarked that there is no moment when people are more inclined to sleep than during the instructions. You will say, "I'm so very sleepy." If I were to take up a fiddle, nobody would think of sleeping. Everybody would be roused. Everybody would be on the alert. My children, you listen then when you like the preacher, but if the preacher does not suit you, you turn him into ridicule. We must not think so much about the man. It is not the body that we must attend to. Whatever the priest may be, he is still the instrument that the good God makes use of to distribute his holy word. You pour liquor through a funnel, whether it be made of gold or of copper. If the liquor is good, it will still be good. There are some who go about repeating everywhere, "Priests say just what they please." No, my children, priests do not say what they please. They say what is in the gospel. The priest who came before us said what we say. Those who shall come after us will say the same thing. If we were to say things that are not true, the bishop would very soon forbid us to preach. We say only what our Lord has taught. My children, I'll give you an example of what it is not to believe what priests tell you. There were two soldiers passing through a place where a mission was being given. One of the soldiers proposed to his comrade to go and hear the sermon, and they went. The missionary preached upon hell. "Do you believe all that this priest says?" asked the least wicked of the two. "Oh, no," replied the other. "I believe it's all nonsense, invented to frighten people." "Well, for my part, I believe it. And to prove it to you that I believe it, I shall give up being a soldier and go into a convent." "Go where you please. I shall continue my journey." But while he was on his journey, he fell ill and died. The other, who was in the convent, heard of his death and began to pray that God would show him in what state his companion had died. One day, as he was praying, his companion appeared to him. He recognized him and asked him, "Where are you?" "In hell. I'm lost." "Oh, wretched man, do you now believe what the missionary said?" "Yes, I believe it." Missionaries are wrong only in one respect, that they do not tell you 1/100th part of what is suffered here. My children, I often think that most of the Christians who are lost for want of instruction. They do not know their religion well. For example, here's a person who has to go and do his day's work. This person has a desire to do great penances, to pass half the night in prayer. If he's well instructed, he will say, "No, I must not do that, because then I could not fulfill my duty tomorrow. I should be sleepy, and the least thing would put me out of patience. I should be weary all the day, and I should not do half as much work as if I'd rested at night. That must not be done." Again, my children, a servant may have a desire to fast, but he's obliged to pass the whole day in digging and plowing, or whatever you please. Well, if this servant is well instructed, he will think, "But if I do this, I shall not be able to satisfy my master." Well, what will he do? He will eat his breakfast and mortify himself in some other way. That is what we must do. We must always act in the way that will give most glory to the good God. A person knows that another is in distress and takes from his parents what will relieve that distress. He would certainly do much better to ask than to take it. If his parents refuse to give it, he will pray to God to inspire a rich person to give the alms instead of him. A well-instructed person always has two guides leading the way before him: good counsel and obedience.